CBS, Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. BBC reporting, Japan has condemned the hijacking of a Japanese-operated, British-owned cargo ship in the Red Sea by Iran-backed Houthi rebels. The Yemeni militia claimed the vessel was Israeli, and a spokesman said the seizure was only the beginning of a battle at sea. Bill Rajo, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, keeps the Long War Journal, my colleague and co-host, and we welcome Joe Truthman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy to report on Gaza war and the wider war. Certainly that includes the Houthis. Bill, a detail here. Some days ago on your site, Long War Journal, you featured a poster of a burning container ship. On the side of the container ship, in a cartoon-like fashion, was the word Israel with the flames engulfing the large letters. That was, as if I read your reporting correctly, that was generated by the Houthis, probably using AI, and put out as propaganda. What is the story of that poster, Bill? When did it first come? And have the Houthis been threatening this for days? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Yes, on November 14th, the Houthis, via their official channels, issued that poster that you accurately described, and the text written on there in Arabic and in Hebrew and in English, it says, "We will sink your ships." So the threat, and again, that was issued on the 14th, that was put out there was, you know, that the Houthis would target, you know, people will say Israeli shipping, but the Houthis are known to have targeted non-Israeli shipping in the past. They have hijacked ships in the Gulf of Aden and in the Red Sea and in the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, which connects the two bodies of water. So the Houthis have a history of doing this. 2 days afterwards, something called the International Maritime Security Construct, which is basically a coalition of foreign countries that is that's used to issue warnings as well as secure the area in and around that Bab el-Mandeb Strait as well as the strait into the Persian Gulf. They issued an actual warning, say, telling ships to steer clear of the Yemeni coast. And then 3 days after that warning is issued, we had the hijacking of the Japanese shipping. So the Houthis, you know, again, they have a long history of this, John. They often do what they say. Far more often than not do what they say. Again, they've done this in the past. And they're pitching in. This is the Houthis, they're a long distance away from Gaza, from Israel, but they've been kicking in to the fight for the so-called axis of resistance, launching cruise missiles, launching ballistic missiles, launching drones at Israel, and supportedly at U.S. Warships as well. It's difficult to get a gauge on that, and U.S. military hasn't admitted that, but that's what I'm hearing. So the Houthis are weighing in here, and they're going to drive up the cost of shipping moving through that region.
So let me understand correctly. They issued this poster on the 14th, and the poster makes it very clear they're going to attack shipping. A warning was issued some days later by the International Maritime Security Construct to stay away from two choke points. You name them both here. And then on the 20th, sometime between the 19th and the 20th, in the region, a British-owned Japanese-flagged ship is attacked by the Houthis. Sounds to me, Bill, like this is an outfit that backs up its words. Joe, I come to you because you're reporting on the chaos of the Gaza war and the threat of the wider war. What is the opinion of the Houthis? Are they something that must be dealt with? Because heretofore, we've had that report, as Bill said, of drone attacks aimed at Eilat. With a lot of dynamite, it could do a lot of damage. I think there was even a missile attack as well that was brought by the U.S. Navy. Are the Houthis getting attention in Jerusalem, Joe, to your knowledge? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Bill. So the Houthis have been quite active during this post-October 7th, Israel-Gaza war. So right now, at least since the last week or so, they've been very active. For instance, the Houthis on the 14th, Houthi leader Abdul Malik al-Houthi, he made this statement saying that the Houthis will attack Israeli ships, and like Bill was saying, especially in the Bab el-Mandeb Strait. So I do think and they, you know, and they backed up their words. They went after these ships. So I think definitely the Houthis have the attention of the IDF, of the Israelis. I mean, it just yesterday, when we found out, when the news came out about the Houthis hijacking a ship, it was very interesting. The IDF put out a statement saying that it was the Houthis that did it, they hijacked a ship. And in previous statements, they rarely ever say anything about the Houthis. And it was interesting to me that the IDF even put that statement out. All right. It wasn't, an Israeli official from the government or a political official. It was the actual IDF. So I thought that was very interesting. So, yes, the Houthis, the IDF is watching Yemen, is watching the Houthis, not only about what happened in the Red Sea, but also with the drones and cruise missiles that have been fired post October 7th at Israel.
Bill, you have a question for Joe.
Yes, Joe, the Houthis, can you list off some of the attacks they've conducted against the Israelis, and how do the Israelis perceive the threat of the Houthis? Is it a major threat? Is it a minor threat?
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. I don't want to say it's minor, but if it wasn't for the Israelis having the missile defense system that they have, we'd be talking about different things right now. So far, the Israelis and the Houthis have stated as well that they've fired drones, ballistic missiles, and ballistic missiles. So it is a threat, all right. And I want to go back to the hijacking here. Now, this, the way I see it, it's low hanging fruit for the Houthis, and the reason being is that it wasn't an Israeli ship, right? It was partially owned, it's partially owned by an Israeli, all right, an Israeli businessman. So that's why they attacked it. So I think this is very interesting. So because it's just low hanging fruit for them, because they want to attack an Israeli target. Well, they can't find one, an actual Israeli ship. So, or an Israeli, let's say an Israeli vessel or military ship. So they attack one, a commercial ship that owned by an Israeli. So it's low hanging fruit. But for now, it's been drone attacks, ballistic missiles, but we haven't seen an attack, at least a statement made by the Houthis claiming an attack, since early last week.
West Bank, there are other elements of the wider war. It's completely non-transparent. There have been reports of raids. There have been reports of gunfights. We know there was one gunfight by a couple of suspects, now deceased, who shot it out with the border guards. They were carrying axes. What's going on in the West Bank, Joe, to your knowledge?
Right. So it's becoming a little more active. I mean, listen, the West Bank has been very active for the last 2.5 years, almost on a daily basis. Terrorist organizations in the West Bank have attacked Israeli settlements. So we've shot at them. They've attacked Israeli troops. It's become almost routine over the last 2.5 years that there have been attacks. However, in the post October 7th, and especially in the last week, there have been notable operations in the West Bank, military operations by the Israelis in Jenin, and Balata, and where IDF drone strikes were reported. So we've seen IDF drone strikes in the West Bank already, at least especially since July. So it's nothing that new, but it's still notable. So the concern, of course, here is that the West Bank will open up as another front against Israel, right? Because right now it's fighting Gaza, it's managing the northern border, it's managing what's happening with the Houthis. And sometimes we see some rocks being fired from Syria. There was a drone that came from, I believe, from Iraq or Syria that hit Eilat a couple weeks ago. So there are a lot of fronts opening up here, or at least that are active for Israel. So it's trying to maintain quiet, or at least manage these fronts, especially the West Bank. So right now, there is a little bit more of an uptick in violence in the West Bank. I don't see it like an explosion or a new front opening up just yet, but that's something to be concerned about.
Do you
for sure
get reports of Hamas or Palestinian Islamic Jihad on the West Bank? I know we've had those reports from Baqa, but do you hear it in West Bank?
Right. Yes. Hamas, actually, specifically Hamas, in the last, let's say, 10 days, they have conducted terrorist attacks against troops, Israeli troops, that have been successful, actually. There was one where a member of Hamas shot at an Israeli soldier driving in the West Bank, shot him and killed him. Another one where they planted IEDs and ambushed IDF soldiers. So so we're seeing these operations, these attacks occurring by Hamas, right? And it's a little concerning, right? Because generally, the Israeli security services are able to thwart these attacks just through precise intelligence. It doesn't seem that they were able to this time. So again, need to stay on top of the West Bank and watch that front closely, because Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and other Palestinian armed groups are trying to foment violence.
We're speaking of the wider war, the Houthis, the West Bank, Makab, but we're going to the Gaza war with Bill Raggio, my colleague and co-host, and Joe Truesman of the Foundation, both of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Fog of war, but we do have some details over these last days. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.